Hi everyone, it's Lydia here. Welcome back to The Weird Years. This is the podcast where we take apart the big, existential, meltdown-inducing questions that hit in your 30s. We talk them over, we talk to guests, and hopefully make this chapter of life just a little bit easier to navigate. Today's story is eye-opening and brave and honest. It's about what it's like to have a condition when your hormones almost completely take over your life. And this is a condition that very few people even know exists, let alone actually understand. If you've ever watched Married at First Sight, you'll recognise today's guest, Christina. She was this incredibly open-hearted, kind, warm, super fun, bubbly character, always in amazing rave outfits, and really just lit up a room every time she walked into it. But behind this big energy, and they talked about this on the show, Christina was struggling with a condition called PMDD. I had literally never heard about this until I saw Christina on Maths UK. PMDD is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. The way to understand it, perhaps, if you haven't heard about this before, is like PMS but on steroids. Christina talks about how for 2 weeks of every single month, her life is completely rocked by these very debilitating physical and mental symptoms of the condition. She says that it's really the worst of the worst of what can happen with your hormones in terms of your physical and mental health, and something that she wouldn't wish on her worst enemy. In this chat, Christina opens up what it's like to live with this condition in your early 30s. She talks about the emotional crashes. She talks about the breakdown that ultimately led her to having a chemical menopause. And she also talks about a massive decision that she's made to have a hysterectomy in her early 30s. This is the removal of her womb. But this conversation isn't just about hormones, although I think a lot of you will relate to that part of the conversation. It's also about taking your power back when it feels like your body and your mind are completely out of your control. It's also about having the courage to make really difficult decisions for yourself, and decisions that a lot of people probably won't understand. We talk about what it's like when your body doesn't follow the plan that you thought you had for your life. We talk about how this condition seeps into every different part of her life and big decision-making around careers, friendships, relationships, and how all of this is happening in a decade where there is already so much pressure to be doing a certain thing or living a certain way, and all of these societal expectations to have everything figured out. If you've ever hit that wall where your body, your emotions, and your expectations aren't aligning, then this is a story for you. But that's enough from me. Let's get into it with Christina. If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years. Christina, welcome to The Weird Years.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am too excited that you're here. And literally looking like, I don't even know what to call this. It's like cool outdoor Barbie, maybe you're going to a jungle, but you're also going out for brunch. It's a great outfit.
Thank you so much. Do you know, I literally, like, I'm not gonna lie, I did throw this together really last minute, which is really, really
okay. Humble brag.
Me.
Humble brag, looking
really,
that good so last minute.
Really, really, really unlike me. But I thought, do you know what? I'm going with it. Sod it. I'm here now.
No, I love it.
Thank you.
We're going to get into so much today. And I want to kick off, because for people who don't know you, I discovered you through Maths. Mm-hmm. So we can touch on that. But who are you to the world who's never watched Maths?
I am Christina, and I am chaotic, wild. I love a rave. I love a festival. Most importantly, I love animals. Music is my life. That's me in a nutshell, really.
I love that. I totally forgot, like, yes, so many of your outfits on Maths were such good, like, party outfits.
Yeah, I know. I was in the wrong occasion. I was dressing for raves, mate.
No, but I loved it. And yeah, so lots of people will know you from Maths, which is Married at First Sight UK, if people who have not watched it yet. It's a site where essentially you literally marry someone at the first sight. You walk down the aisle and you see someone and you marry them.
Yeah, I literally married a real stranger.
Which is bizarre and bold and exciting and a little bit crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which probably sums up the last few years for you.
Literally. And sums up me.
But what I really wanted you to come on and talk about is that in your season, mm-hmm. and in your storyline, a massive part of this was a condition that I had never, literally never heard of. Mm-hmm. And I was watching this and I was thinking, like, God, have I been living under a rock? Because I class myself as someone who knows quite a lot about women's health. I like to be like clued up. And then I heard this term, PMDD, and I was like,
I literally don't even, I've never heard that in my, what was it, 30 years of life or whatever at that point. Mm. Never heard of it. And it was such a massive part of your story. For anyone who's not heard of PMDD, how would you describe it?
I've actually just recently learned a new term that I am obsessed with. Mm. So think of, so premenstrual dysphoric disorder, keyword dysphoric.
Mm.
What is the opposite to dysphoric? It's euphoric.
Right.
So euphoric being the most high, intense, incredible, amazing, thrilling, wonderful feeling in the whole universe, to then go from that to dysphoric. Dysphoric is the lowest of the low that you could ever possibly get.
Mm.
That's how I am now describing it.
I'd never even like put that thought together, because when I was thinking of, yeah, dysphoric is not obviously a word that you hear very often, is it? Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody knows this. Everybody knows euphoric.
Yeah.
But nobody's thought of the opposite to that. And it is. It's dysphoric. It's the complete and utter opposite.
And it's premenstrual. So people probably would have heard of PMS. PMS. Yeah. Premenstrual, what's PMS actually stand for? Premenstrual stress.
Yeah.
Right? Which lots of us would have heard of like, you know, you don't feel great around your period. You're feeling like a bit aggy. People have it better or worse, right?
Absolutely.
But PMDD is like tied into your period, but the worst of the worst that you can have.
Yeah. And for a substantial amount of time, it takes up 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks of every month of your life.
Wow. And what is that like when you're in that for 2 weeks? Like what are your kind of like symptoms? How do you experience that?
I'm super emotional. Super emotional. I have no energy. I'm so fatigued. So fatigued, but then insomnia. I can't sleep.
Mm.
You're just running on empty. Every muscle aches, your bones ache, your appetite changes, mood swings, your skin, your body. I bloat terribly.
Right.
And it's just so, it's so uncomfortable. Obviously the period cramps, the heavy bleeding, the list is endless. It's quite, it's quite intense.
Yeah, and there's a duality of it. So it's not just like the emotional pain and dysregulation, but it's also like all of the things you'd have on your period, but 10 times.
It's like PMS on steroids.
Jesus.
Yeah, but it's just for that 2 weeks, not just like the week.
Yeah. And people, I guess, there's so many, people obviously have so many opinions about women's hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Out of interest, have you met people who really downplay it? Because PMS, people kind of treat PMS like it's a little bit of a joke. It's like, oh, she's moody because she's on her period.
Yeah.
Like that kind of often very misogynistic like traits to it, right?
Yeah.
Do you find that people, when they hear of PMDD, they presume it's like not that big a deal?
Yeah. So I've had really mixed reviews. I've had, some people say it's an excuse, which,
really?
My goodness, I can promise you it's not an excuse. I've had people say, how can it be that bad? How can you feel so low and change in the flick of a light switch? Like, how can that possibly happen? Yeah. There's been a lot of questions sort of around it. But it is really hard to explain, because when you don't know how you're feeling yourself, how am I supposed to tell you when I don't know? So it's really difficult. And the thing, when you communicate and when you say, right, I'm struggling, I'm in PMDD right now. Well, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this.
Mm.
I can't.
Right.
I can't.
Well, so it's like people would be like, oh, well, have you tried exercising? You need to eat well. You need to meditate or whatever. You get thrown lots of like little band-aid ideas.
Yeah. And it's a minefield. It really, really, really is. You do welcome like good intentions. You welcome like, good potential advice, but until you're living it, you will just never, ever understand. Yeah. Never understand.
It sounds almost like, I think, you know, things like depression and anxiety. Like one of my really close friends has really bad depression and anxiety. And it's always like, I'm always reminding myself of like, there's nothing, like until you're in it, and you cannot understand what that's like. Because to you, the idea of like not, or to me, the idea of not being able to get out of bed, I'm like, oh God, I just can't even imagine that. But to her, it's like, well, there's no alternative. Like all these things that might be great and pull you out of a slump, like they won't touch the sides.
Quite literally. Like, you, it affects every single day life. Like, quite literally, from literally waking up, setting your alarm, you know, brushing your teeth, having a shower, washing your hair, like it can honestly become impossible when you are in the pits.
And does it, because you said it comes for like 2 weeks every month, in those other 2 weeks, are you like unaffected, or is it also like underlying there?
So I definitely know now what is PMDD and what isn't PMDD. But I've just trialed. So I've just recently this year gone into chemical menopause.
Okay. Tell us about this. I actually only heard about this again through your stories. So like, I'm getting a full education every day that I'm following you.
Yeah, thank you. So I chose to go into chemical menopause because I had a really, really, really nasty breakdown in May, which I haven't, you know, and I have, not many people know, and I haven't really spoken about it, but I was unfortunately very, very suicidal. And I was ready to just be completely done. I was, you know, I was screaming, begging for help. And I got referred to the emergency crisis mental health team. They were incredible. They really, really were incredible. And I'm very grateful, you know, for the services out there. But I literally said, something's got to give. I said, I cannot go through this again. Yeah. Like this is, you know, something needs to change, pretty sharpish. And so went back to the doctors and I was like, right, chemical menopause, let's do this. So chemical menopause, it's basically, it's chemically putting your body into menopause. So it basically shuts everything down in here.
Yeah. So there's no hormones going on. And is it shutting down like your womb and your ovaries or?
Yeah. So you cut. Yeah. So yeah, you literally, you're going through the menopause 30 years earlier.
Right.
So to speak, 20 to 30 years earlier in sort of my case.
Yeah.
And I just wanted it to stop. Like, I just wanted it to stop. The hormones in my body just, you know, sort of just weren't working. My brain was just frying. But unfortunately for me, I was on Zoladex, which is an injection which I was having once a month. And then I was having HRT, tibolone, alongside that.
Which is the hormone replacement.
Yeah. But unfortunately for me, it really didn't agree with me. It really, really did, like, on so many levels, just didn't agree with my body. I think my body just went into such a shock. Of shutting down, but it affected me, you know, it really obviously affected me mentally, physically, emotionally. You know, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without having to sit down and pretty much fall asleep. I was just, it knocked me for six. It really, really did. And, you know, for some people, HRT is absolutely incredible. But, you know, when it doesn't work for you, it's like, oh my God, I'm trying all of these things here, you know. And I gave it time, but there was just a pinnacle moment, and I was literally just like, I can't live my life like this. Like, I was just so not myself. And I was like, God, like, how is anybody supposed to like live their life like this? And, you know, I was really unhappy, and it was affecting like my everyday living. And I just spoke to the doctor. I was due to go back for my second injection, and I phoned them up. Well, actually, so I actually missed my appointment for the injection because I couldn't move.
Right.
I couldn't move, and I couldn't get,
because you're like so fatigued.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. And then I had to phone up again and say, I'm really sorry that I've missed my appointment, but I've missed my appointment because of this situation that I'm in. I'm, you know, what this is doing to me, doing to my body. And I said I'm sorry, but I'm stopping this. Like, I literally cannot go through another week of this. And they said, oh, you know, well, we don't sort of advise going cold turkey. And I was like, well, I'd rather go cold turkey than feel like this again.
So then I stopped,
and then it took a long time for then my body to regulate itself again, being put into chemical menopause, to then trying to go back to some sort of normal. It was really, really hard, and I was really irregular. Oh my goodness, when I was in chemical menopause as well, it's supposed to stop everything working. I was bleeding every other week, and it was bad. Like, it was bad, like literally bedbound bad. I was literally swimming in sea, like sea of red. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, this again, this is a joke. So unfortunately, it really didn't agree with me. And I said to them, they said obviously about not going cold turkey. I said, I don't want to. And then I just said, something else needs to change. And they said, well, you're going to have to like wait for another gynecology appointment. And I was like, well, how being referred back to gynecology, we know what that's like. It's an absolute nightmare. And I said, well, how long am I going to be waiting for that? I said, what am I supposed to be doing in the meantime? Like, how am I supposed to get back to some sort, you know, I'm still struggling regardless. Yeah. Like, how am I supposed to navigate where I'm going next? Well, you're just going to have to wait for your gynecology appointment. I said, well, I want a hysterectomy, and I want one now.
So the hysterectomy was your idea. You read about it like through, you know, forums, or how did that? Because I imagine like the only time I've heard of a younger person having a hysterectomy was actually that there was a woman in the US who knew she didn't want kids, and she was trying to go through that process because she also had, she didn't have PMDD, she had like a lot of hormone related like challenges. And she was like, I know I don't want kids, and I don't want this anymore. I don't want my womb, for anyone who's listening. Like, it's the full removal of your womb and your ovaries.
So you can actually, depending on your individual situation, some people choose to actually keep their ovaries. But for me, get it all out.
Because it's all producing hormones. It's all part of the condition.
I literally do not need one bit of hormone in my body, thank you. Yeah. Get it gone.
Thank you, get rid of it. But yeah, this woman, she was like battling the medical establishment because so... people are so, firstly, I think a lot of women's health is like downplayed, right? Of like,
oh yeah.
Anyone who's come off the pill or started the pill before will know that like that journey of your hormones regulating is a journey. And then you times that by 1,000 with something like PMDD. And then it's like, you can't even imagine what that process must be like. But then you're often working with a lot of male doctors, I guess, often. And maybe there's not like the empathy of like how that journey can be and how disruptive that like No one goes into having an organ removed from their body lightly, do they?
And this, like, this is the huge, huge thing. All I've had, like, you know, when I first started talking about a hysterectomy when I, you know, when I got my diagnosis and came out of maths. Like, quite, you know, so little, nearly 2 years ago now. So a long time, it's a really, really substantial, like, you know, a long, substantial amount of time. But I was thinking about hysterectomy before, you know, before that anyway.
Yeah.
But then when I literally, when it got solidified, sort of, so to speak, I was like, just get it out. And they were like, don't you think that's a bit extreme? And I said, do I want to live my life unknowingly when I next feel like I want to top myself?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to live in that constant fear of, you know, I'm not battling with myself every month anymore. Like, why would I, you know, why would I want to do that? And then, of course, alongside that, you're too young, children, family, it all comes as like a big package, doesn't it? But for me, it's taken me 3 years to really solidify my decision. I've thought about, you know, the thing is as well with, you know, with like the whole PMDD situation, like with the whole children situation, I've had to like really think sort of ahead and be like, I'm the next person that I meet, I need to make sure that they're okay with not having children. And it's like a really vicious like cycle of like trial and tribulation. Don't want to say it like that, but do you know what I mean? Like, you're having to go through that like really awkward like process, but then like in the back of my head, definitely more so in the like earlier days, I was like, am I going to meet someone in the next 2 years that is going to make me want to change my mind and have children?
Yeah.
No. I'm 33 in December. I've had, like, as we briefly said before, like, I've had a lot go on down there. What is the likelihood of me being fertile? What is the likelihood of me, you know, being able to, like, you know, carry full term? You know, I had an ectopic pregnancy a long time ago, and I was very, very fortunate that I kept both tubes. But, you know, I still don't trust it.
Yeah, and you'd be opening yourself up to a whole other world of, you know, the hormones of pregnancy are also a whole other journey in themselves and postpartum.
Yeah, and it's just really, really not worth my while going through that. And, you know, it may come across as selfish, but I do want to make a point of, I have sort of looked into being an egg donor. So I really have like explored, you know, I have had to think about it. It's my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a huge, huge decision to make. I'm taking away what somebody might say is what I was placed on this earth to do, reproduce.
We don't fucking listen to those people.
But we don't listen to that. We don't listen to that. I feel like, you know, not only for myself, but for everybody else, to be a voice and to break the stigma of, actually, if you don't want children, it's okay.
And that's the big part as well, right, to the listeners, is that it's not just because you have, like, this condition. It's because it's not something you wanted anyway. So, like, that's, like, I guess, an important part of the story as well, is, like, this is a very empowered choice for you. It's something that you, like, I don't want that for my life. And, I mean, if you compare it to something like mental health, if you, which I know is a massive component of it, if someone had really bad depression and anxiety and there was an organ in your body that you could have removed, which would help alleviate that, like, so many people would do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the same with, you know, people get mastectomies when they have their breasts removed because they know they've got like a gene that makes them more susceptible to cancer. It's like those things are not, or they're becoming far less taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when it comes to like something with fertility, it's still, I guess, quite a touchy subject.
Yeah.
You just don't hear about it.
Yeah. It's there's so many ways that like people can look at this like situation. You know, I don't want to be classed as selfish, but I'd be doing myself a disjustice if I listened and followed the crowd and, you know, sort of whatever. But my whole life, I've been around children my whole life. Like, I worked in nurseries my whole life. Like, you know, I've been involved with children everywhere. Obviously, I was a stepmum for 5 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to be Stina.
Yeah.
Just want to be Stina.
So do you have a timeline of when you're going to have that done?
No.
Okay. It's just in the future.
No. So as soon as possible.
Yeah.
As soon as possible. They know. So when you, obviously going back to, you know, when I first mentioned about the hysterectomy, they're so well aware that, you know, that is, it's the end result for me. So, and, you know, I was really lucky that they didn't, you know, they didn't battle me too much. Yeah. They did listen. So.
Wow.
I know.
Will you do, this is such a weird question. I'm like, don't let that come out of your mouth.
No, go on.
Will you keep it? Are you going to like bury it somewhere? Like the stuff that comes out? Because, you know, like people, I'm just thinking about this because obviously I've got to give birth at some point. And with placentas, loads of people do stuff with their placenta. They like bury it under a bush because it's like a part of their body.
Do you know, that's actually really interesting. And that's definitely given me some like food for thought. I never even like thought about that. But actually for me, and probably how I am, and you like the way that I deal with things or process things, I'd be the type of girl to, bury it, grow something from it.
It feels like you need like it's a like ceremony a re- of like
yeah,
it's a rebirth of you and like putting it back to the earth.
Yeah, because obviously I'm like, you know, I do like, you know, I'm into Reiki, like I, you know, I'm in like, I'm a spiritual kind of girl, so like that would like resonate with me. That's so interesting. I never ever thought of that. Yeah, wow.
You have to throw like a little party or something for it and just do like a, I don't know, some sort of nice like grounding thing with the.
Yeah, just to like then just be, you know, yeah, just to then like be at peace with my decision, maybe. I don't know. But the thing is, the one thing is so difficult, but it's because I'm a caring, kind person and I think of everybody else. Like, the thing that gets me is the women that unfortunately can't have children. That really, really struggle with.
Is that what, because earlier when you were saying that you don't want to be, you've thought about this decision, you don't want it to be a selfish decision. Is that where the word selfish comes from you? Is this idea that you've...
I don't, like, I'm just not... Honestly, the thought of somebody... The thought of somebody, like, that can't have children and I potentially can, and I'm choosing to not take that potential. That's hard because I'm a nice girl.
Yeah.
A nice girl.
I feel like you're being really harsh on yourself.
I know.
Anyone listening would be like, well, firstly, it's your choice regardless of, you know, even if you didn't have this condition, but also this is like, presumably once you have that, like once you have the operation, will it be like daylight, complete change for you? Like, do they expect that almost all of your PMDD symptoms will go?
So again, to each like individual, again, like trial and tribulation, most people do go on HRT,
right?
Obviously I've experienced HRT and absolutely hated it, didn't get on with it. So am I going to have like some sort of miracle where I get it all taken out of me and I'm absolutely fine? Or, you know, am I going to have to like look at different routes? Am I going to have to go down like a more natural sort of journey, like path situation? Like, don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess obviously it's probably also not super common, I imagine. A lot of people having this procedure. Like, I imagine there's not loads of data to go off of what you can
expect. No. So, so going back to the post that I done on Instagram, sorry guys, I done a post on Instagram and it was a Q&A and I had the majority of my questions asking if I was going to have children, you know, sort of in the future. Mm-hmm. And I just done this like lengthy, you know, situation, and at the end of it I just put, you know, unfortunately, this is my choice. Please respect it because you won't change my mind. Mm. And the response was so overwhelming. The influx of messages just congratulating me, telling me how brave I am. But most importantly, positively, that I got from this was the amount of women that have had a hysterectomy that have said it has saved their lives.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm also just so glad that you got that response, because I think people can, especially as we said before, like you can't imagine what it's like to live a life where this is such a big 2 weeks of every single month.
I know, you know, like half your life,
literally. And it's like, in my view, it's like, well, just do not have an opinion on it. Like, you cannot have a negative opinion on someone's decision in this because you've not walked in their shoes. Mm. But I'm so glad that what you got was like loads of support and love.
Yeah, and I just think, like, you know, like, you got to look at it as you sort of said earlier, like, I'm willing to remove organs in my body because that is how bad I'm suffering.
Yeah.
Like, that is the lengths that I am wanting to go and need to go to have half a chance at, like, the rest of my life.
Yeah. And I guess people probably feel like they know you from having been on Mass.
Oh, it's
it's like we got this tiny little like window into your life, and I think seeing you suffer on the show and like the emotional ups and downs, and then having a partner who put you through a lot of emotional ups and downs as well, like, I think people just had so much empathy for you. I know when I was watching it, I was just being like, this girl is lovely and amazing, and like just one of those people who you can tell like walks into a room and lights it up. So you can, I think people probably come at your situation with like that level of like, well, we kind of know her, we know what she's going through, and it's obviously not been easy.
Yeah, it's like, it's so difficult. Like, I am, you know, I feel very blessed. Like, I do, I feel very, very blessed that I am a good person and I am genuine, but that also comes with massive struggles. Like, I have, you know, gone through a lot of heartbreak. I've gone through, you know, a lot of struggles in my life, but it's got me where I am today because I am a good person. And most importantly, like, I am just being myself. I can't be anybody else. And it's just, it's so refreshing and so, you know, really empowering that I've been able to be a voice for so many people. Like, it's it's great. But even then, like, I still almost like downplay it because I still obviously have my bad days and I still really, really struggle. And I think, oh my God, everybody hates me. Like, oh my God, you know, and I get myself into such a state, man.
Yeah.
And then once I come out of it, I'm like, well, back to normal again. Now, oh, I'm all right. Do you know what I mean? But it's just those pinnacle moments where I literally lose so much hope.
And that happens, like, obviously you're used to this in the sense of it happens every 2 weeks every month.
Mm.
But when you're in it, it's still like you can't get that clarity of like, I know this is going to pass. Like, it's all encompassing.
All I literally have to say to myself and what my friends and family sort of say to me is, it will be over soon.
Mm.
Won't be long. Hang with it. It's not forever.
Yeah.
You'll come out of it. And I just tell myself, right, few more days, get through a few more days and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
But coming out of the chemical menopause, it took me a lot longer,
right,
for my body to get back to some sort of normality. So I was tracking my original period, but because I was coming on every other then week, and then obviously, then I stopped bleeding, but then I was then. I worked out I was 17 days late for my regular cycle, and I was like, oh my God, what is going on here? And it really, really, really messed with me.
And I think what you were saying before of, like, you know, maths was a platform for you of so much growth, but also, like, to be able to get this story out there of this condition that people don't really know about. I read something when I was researching for this, which was, on average, it takes a woman 12 years to get diagnosed with PMDD. How old were you when you got diagnosed?
So I got diagnosed when I was 31. 31?
Wow.
32 now. Yeah, 31.
So really recently?
Yeah, literally after maths.
Wow.
Yeah. It took me 10 years.
Can you tell us a bit about, like, the process of... When did you realise, okay, this isn't like PMS, this isn't like what my girlfriends are going through, like, this isn't normal?
So I remember one really, like, quite vivid moment. I was at home with my mum and dad. They were together. They were together at the time. They're not together now. But we're all at home, and I must have been, I can't remember how old I was, but we'd got McDonald's and... I was eating a Big Mac burger and it fell apart in my hands, and I couldn't, for love nor money, hold this burger together to eat it. And I was inconsolable. I was absolutely beside myself. Why can't I eat this burger? What is this? It's falling apart. Who made this? Like, it was a real moment in my life. And I was like, is this what my life has come to? I'm crying, like, severely crying over a Big Mac because I can't eat it.
Wow. And that was when you were like, okay, this is a big emotion for this situation.
Yeah. And, like, my family were literally,
I was going to say, like, how are your parents, you know, like, family responding to this?
On? Like, what's going on? They were like, and I was like, no, this is like, this, I literally, and I couldn't finish the rest of the burger because I was so upset because I couldn't hold it together.
Was there a series of these burger moments when you were like, okay, my reaction is, unusual to say.
But funny enough, there was actually another time, and we had gone to, as a family, we had gone to a restaurant, and there was nothing that I liked on the menu, and I was distraught. I took it so personally that there was absolutely nothing that I could eat on this menu.
And people, like, listening, or people in your friendship group at that time, did they just think you were, like, difficult, or, like, were they like, oh, she, like, why is she so upset all the time? Like, did they think it was something in your personality, or were they like, no, this is clearly linked to hormones, or they saw a pattern? Like, how do you go from being like, I'm a very emotional person around my period, to being like, no, this definitely, like, I need to see a doctor?
I just think I'd been misdiagnosed with depression on and off throughout my teenage life.
Right.
Literally through my 20s. I took my first antidepressant when I was, I can't even remember how old I was, but I was young. And I was like, but what I couldn't rack my brain around was that I wasn't depressed. every single day.
Right.
I wasn't depressed every single day. It was just when I was around my period.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, you've just got a nasty case of PMS. Mm. No, it's worse. I know there's something more to this than just PMS.
Yeah.
Because I was all right for 2 weeks, but then not the others. So the antidepressants weren't treating effectively like the right thing.
Right.
And then I'd go through like periods where, you know, I'd be on the antidepressants, then because, you know, I'd be on them for like a certain amount of time, then I'd come off, and because I was feeling all right, because I wasn't on my, like, during my period, and it was all like, it was so erratic. So erratic. And it was like, yeah, I didn't know if I was just coming or going. And then it would be a case of like, I'd be all right, and then I'd have like a massive burnout, massive crash. And I was like, yeah, this is really concerning. It's been wild.
And when you went to the doctor and eventually, like, you're like, this is definitely, like, you know, antidepressants aren't working. I know it's linked something to my cycle. Mm-hmm. I'm up and down. I'm trying all this new stuff. How long did it take for them to take it really seriously? Because that's a concern you often hear with, like, women's health, is that it's kind of downplayed so massively.
Yeah. So when I actually, so it was like, I might be wrong here, but 2019 maybe, I can't remember. But I had actually done my own research by then.
Mm.
And then I found PMDD. And then I took my research to my doctor and I said, this is what I've got. And they literally were like, haven't even heard of it.
Wow. The doctors hadn't heard of it.
The doctor literally typed into Google PMDD.
Wow.
And he went, oh, well, yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it? And I was like, you are joking. Like, so I literally just wrote down, I'm very proactive, like, I literally wrote down all of my symptoms, every single, like, situation that I was, like, feeling. I'd done, like a diary situation and literally just went and presented it, and they didn't even bloody know.
Wow. Is that something that you recommend to people now? Because I imagine...
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Go with your symptoms. Be a step ahead. You have got to be a step ahead. Go down with your symptoms. Get your info ready before you go down there, because technically you've done their job for you.
Yeah.
These are my symptoms. What are you going to do about it?
And how are you like living, you know, how are you living life at this point? Because I was reading actually that in France, I think it was in 2019, they brought in like menstruation leave into businesses. So people, like, it's a registered reason to have sick leave.
Because,
you know, you're menstruating, you're going through it.
Yeah.
When you're having this every other week and, you know, in your 20s, you're dating, you have a job, like, how are you navigating life?
So I was in, so throughout my 20s, I was literally in two very long-term relationships back to back. So I, you know, I wasn't really that single in my 20s at all. I think I had like 9 months where I was single.
Wow.
But I just thought, I was just unhappy, like, with my partner. I'd want to, like, you know, not be with them, every month. Do you know what I mean? And I just thought that it was, you know, I just thought that was, like, sort of a relationship situation. You have your ups and downs, don't you? With the work situation, like, it's made me leave jobs.
Right.
Made me leave jobs because I literally couldn't cope. Like, I had to, like, left a nursery, left care home, you know, and it was tough because obviously I didn't have my diagnosis back then. And then when, like, I was explaining to, like, you know, the people that I was working with, you know, this is like PMDD, you know, they didn't know about it. They, you know, and they didn't know the severity. But because, you know, like I always have been. I've worked from a really, really young age, you know. I always have had that workman mentality of you get on and you do it.
Right.
But when I was so bad, what I used to do was literally just carry on and carry on and carry on, and then I'd burn out, and then it'd be a real like situation. My mental health just absolutely plummeted. You know, was off sick. You know, like for a substantial like period of time. Then I'd make a change, and it was literally like it was quite a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Really, really vicious cycle, really hard to navigate, because, you know, like I genuinely wouldn't, not that I have a worst enemy, but if I had one, I would not wish it on my worst enemy. Mm-hmm. It's not a choice. We do not choose to be like this. And it's soul destroying. You know, because I'm, you know, I am very good at like communicating sort of when I'm struggling, like I've got no choice. And the thing is, because I am, you know, I am wild. I am like crazy. I'm very bubbly. Like, you know, I am like this big personality.
Mm.
But when I'm in PMDD and people see that change, they're like, bloody hell, like, whoa, that's like that's scary. Like, that is such like a conflict, almost conflict of personality.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, these are two different people.
Like, yeah, literally split personality.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And also PMDD often gets misdiagnosed with BPD, which is borderline personality disorder.
Does it? That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's just mental. So, yeah, it literally work, you know, work-life situation, like, yeah, affects it massively, massively. And especially, like, when you're a people pleaser, like myself, like, you don't want to let anybody down. But if you can't, you know, when it's... It is a, you know, it's a condition. It's a condition. It's not just something plucked out of the ground. It's a real condition.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it is really hard to sort of get that across because you're not doing it on purpose.
Yeah. And I mean, even I think I only read that it was 2019, I think, that they added it as like an official condition, like in the medical literature.
Yeah.
Like before that, people hadn't even put pen to paper, like for women like yourself to say like, no, this is a real thing. It's very much grounded in science.
There's
all these hormones that we can track and we can see it, and like it's there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's really, really hard. And like it's hard, you know, it's hard to like... So if like prime example, like if I... Like, it got to the point where I was literally having to plan my life around my period.
Mm.
Like, if I was at a festival, if I was at a rave, if I was, like, going out, if I was, like, seeing friends or family, like, the anxiety that it gave me if I knew that I was going to be due on, like, it ruined. Absolutely ruined for me.
It sounds almost like, you know, a fairy tale of, like, turning into the wolf or whatever at midnight, and you're like having to think about that of like, I know this thing's coming.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming, it's coming to get ya.
Yeah.
Countdown. Run.
Big X in your calendar for those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
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 And I mean, what we do so much on this podcast is talk about like the big life decisions of your 30s, and you talked about one with, you know, the choice not to have kids and to have your surgery. How does it play out now in your life with your work and with dating? Do you tell like your people you're working with, people you're dating, like how quick off the bat are you to let them know that like this is something in my life?
So I think everybody knows, like, I'm so open. Yeah. Like, I have no filter. Like, I could literally tell you anything and it wouldn't faze me. but, you know, the first thing, you know, the first thing I will say is just to let you know, you know, I suffer with, like, you know, theoretically, like, mental health condition. I have PMDD. I really suffer with my periods, and, like, you can't hide it.
Yeah.
You cannot hide PMDD. No matter how well you think you wear the mask, your mask will slip off.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just, unfortunately, it's a part of you, and you can't hide it. So I'm very upfront, very open. I'm very honest. I have this. Dating wise, it's so difficult now. Like, obviously, dating, like, for the majority of people that I seem to attract have seen me on TV. So they know,
yeah.
So they, you know, they know that I struggle. And then it's, you know, it's sort of their choice if they then want to sort of pursue that or not.
Mm. Do you sometimes find you're dating people and they think they, like, understand it, and then they get in it and they can't cope with it?
I haven't dated enough.
What we saw on Maths.
Honestly.
A little bit. Some people could have stuck out a bit more. No shade.
No shade. Yeah. Yeah, it is just what it is. Like, the thing is, like, if, you know, if we want to touch on that sort of subject, let's use an example, Nathan with his ADHD.
Yep. Another person who was on the show.
Sorry. Nathan and Lacey, you know, I could never, ever imagine, if I was matched with Nathan, I could never imagine myself turning around to Nathan and be like, I can't be with you because you got ADHD.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sort of how I've looked at it.
I'm glad that you've got to this point, because when we were watching you on the show, sometimes, like, I always wanted to shake him because I was like, you're an idiot, you don't know what a catch you have. But also sometimes I'd want to shake you because it felt like there was sometimes these feelings of guilt, or like this, like...
Oh, I felt horrendous.
That you were too much, or like, oh, yeah, well, yeah. No one could, like, love me, no one could be with me because this is too much.
Mm.
So I'm glad that you've now got to this point, because everyone's got something, don't they? Like, everyone comes with baggage. Like, yeah. That is love, and that is life, and in relationships is that. And also, you can start dating someone and everything's amazing.
Yeah.
And then someone gets on well down the line.
It's, yeah. Like,
this, yeah, is part of life and being committed to people.
Yeah, yeah. It's so difficult because, like, I wish, like, I don't know. I don't know what it is at the moment, but, like, yeah, I sort of haven't been on it enough. I haven't been on enough dates since Maths for it to get as far as PMDD being an issue.
Right.
Because, like, I don't know. I don't date. I went through a, like, a massive, like, self-healing journey.
Mm.
I wanted to get my PMDD sorted. That was my main priority.
Yeah.
And then so I literally was like, went through a stage of, like, no boys, you know, I'm focusing solely on myself. But then, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I'm getting a bit, you know, I want a husband again. Do you know what I mean? So I, like, dipped my toe in the old pond. Bloody hell.
The pond is toxic.
That pond ain't for dipping your toe in, mate.
That pond is neon green a lot of the time, and shit lurking beneath the surface.
Yeah, literally. So, like, dating for me at the moment, like, it is really difficult. And the thing is, what I'm finding is the people that I like don't necessarily like me back. And the people that like me, I don't necessarily like them back.
Mm.
I just haven't found my person yet.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to leave it on, exploring all this stuff in the weird years. And I'm sure when you find that person, all of this stuff will fall into place as it does. I've got this question, which I love to, it's our near to ending question.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there's one myth, misconception, or societal expectation which is tied to this period of life and you want to challenge it, what would it be?
Oh my God.
I know, we've been all fun and games, and now I'm like, give me a serious one. No, it doesn't have to be serious. But yeah, a myth, a misconception, or societal expectation which is tied to your 30s. If you wanted to challenge that and be like, that's absolute rubbish, what would it be?
I would definitely say, you don't need to have your life together by a certain age.
Mm, preach.
You really, really, really don't. I thought I was going to be married with children. I've had two mortgages, so I can tick that off. But, you know, I thought I was going to have everything by, like, you know, the age of 26 to 28. There's no rush.
Yeah.
There's no rush, but life is precious.
I love that. Completely agree. And we're going to finish on yes or mess, which is our rapid fire section.
Yeah, yeah.
Where there's five statements. If you think it's good, you're like, yes, I like it. If you think it's a mess, needs to go in the bin, then it's a mess.
Okay.
Okay. So number one is scheduling big life decisions that you have to make around your hormone shifts.
Yeah.
Solid. Being open with your employer about having PMDD.
Yes.
Love that. This is an interesting one, but prioritising flexibility over salary when it comes to your career.
Ooh. I'm a wild one, so yes.
Never know what you're going to do.
Literally.
Can't be locked down. Using TikTok and social media to diagnose your own hormones.
But that's really difficult. That's really, really, really contradicting. Is there a middle ground?
You can give a middle ground, yeah.
I'm going middle ground because for people like myself that are living and breathing it, it's people have been diagnosed because they've seen me.
Mm.
But then I would never want to make somebody feel like they're going crazy because they think they've got this condition, but actually they don't. I think that's quite a fine line there.
Yeah, sensible. And the last one is telling people about PMDD before your first date. So they never heard of you. Do you give them a little text and just say FYI, or do you just go with the flow?
God. I've never, ever thought about that. Yeah, that's not quick fire. I'm really sorry, but I feel like because as I said, like most of the people that are interested in me have seen me from math, so they already know. But if I had somebody brand new come into my life that didn't know me, that's so difficult because I wouldn't want to scare them away. I think I'd wait to actually meet them. Yeah. I think I'd actually wait to get on the day. And then if the conversation goes that way, then I'll be like, oh yeah, like, by the way, like I have something called PMDD. It's this, that and the other. And then I'd invite, yeah, I would invite that conversation for sure. I'd have to.
It's part of life, isn't it?
It's part of life. It's part of my life.
Amazing. Well, yeah, I think honestly what you're doing like with this conversation, I'm so grateful to have you on because as I said, I'd literally knew nothing about it until I saw you on maths. And I think so many people, well, we know so many people, like hundreds of thousands of people following you will have heard your story and it will make a massive impact to people. So yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, I've had the best time.
Oh, good. I love it.
Yay!
And maybe we'll see on your stories at some point in the future that you're having a little gong ceremony or something
for my womb.
Burying your womb. And it will grow into a beautiful tree.
Absolutely. Yeah, it will grow into some lilies, no doubt.
That's nice. Yeah, we'll manifest that for the future.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.